Are you okay talking about this then on here?
Yes, because we're not going to dig into it.
Okay, that's it. My mum was Miss England, that you may not know.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
And guess who I take after? My dad! Unlucky!
That's really made me laugh.
I know!
We have the things that, actually they're a big part of us that probably other people don't know or recognise, but are really things we carry every day. There was an awful lot of wool around.
Oh, yes.
And my... Oh, yes.
You're not going to mention the C word, are you?
What's the C word?
I don't know if I can say it.
Go on.
Cashmere.
Oh, I love cashmere.
Do I want to say this? Okay, sod it. Excuse me. So...
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Carrie. And hi, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.
So what's been going on for you?
Well, this is something that came up with a client. And firstly, I need to say I have her permission to talk about this.
OK.
And she's a singer-songwriter and she's a client of mine. So shout out to her because she'll be listening. So she was talking about a sensitivity she has, which is her skin is very sensitive. And when she goes to bed, she has to have moisturiser on her face, a particular one that sits well on her face. Otherwise, she doesn't sleep as well. So she went away recently and she went to stay with a friend. And the friend noticed she'd got these little pots of moisturiser with her and said, "Oh, you're so organised," which to many of us might sound like a compliment. But to my client, that sounded like there was a judgment going on. So even though she knew that her friend wasn't coming from this angle, her mind made a connection between you're so organised to, oh, you have to be that organised because you have so many needs. And that then leads to you're so sensitive, which leads to the thought that, oh, you're so fussy. Now, as I said, the friend didn't say that at all. And it was probably furthest from their mind that could possibly be. But our minds don't actually take much notice of what's really happening. What they do is they join the dots. So our minds take one thing and another thing and join them up. And this is exactly what happened to my client. And I get it. And this is what happens with me. And I suspect many of our listeners, because we've been told so often or often enough that we are so sensitive or too sensitive that we hear it even when it's not really there. And I guess you could say we're too sensitive to being told that we're sensitive or feeling like we've been told we're sensitive. So it's kind of self-fulfilling in a way.
Yeah.
My response of late has been, so does that mean you're insensitive? but the point is that there's this thing that goes through our lives as ADHDers, or many of us, that means that we feel judged because we're sensitive to stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that comes as emotional sensitivity, skin sensitivity, noise sensitivity, light sensitivity.
Yeah, it's that switching on subtext, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, that we both work with clients about, you know, what words were actually said and what was your interpretation of those words.
Exactly.
What did you actually receive as the message? Often two very, very different things. And I totally hear where you're coming from. I think sensitivity to perceived, and I think it's important to use the word perceived.
Yes.
Perceived criticism is really real.
Mm. As you and I both know, when I go away on holiday or when we travel together, I don't just have the one small bag that everyone else has, it seems. Hmm. I have two not quite so small bags and possibly another one, and they're full of stuff.
Hmm.
And I have a couple of friends who have health conditions and they end up in the same position and you feel really embarrassed. And so if anybody says anything that is even vaguely alluding to your luggage, you go into this phase of just squirmy feeling of, oh God, they all think I'm fussy. I mean, years ago, I used to just leap on a motorcycle with a very small pannier with a couple of pairs of knickers in and a pair of socks and a T-shirt and off we'd go.
Yeah.
It's not like that now.
Yeah. you know, we've talked about emotional regulation, and I think this sort of fits, if there are a Venn diagram of it, this would fit into it, this sensitivity.
Yeah, totally.
You know, we all have things. So like you were saying about your luggage, and I get that, because actually, in reality, most people would look and they may or may not observe that you have more luggage. And their observation may be, oh, gosh, you've got a lot of luggage, or you need to be. I mean, I think I said to you when we were talking about packing and you said you'd start, and I was like, oh, my God, you're so organized. But you pointed out, oh, it's because I have to be. I've got so much more to get ready. And then I think most people go, oh, and move on.
We're back to the they don't care.
No one cares.
It's all in my head. Well, yes, it is. But it's also, it gives us another layer of stuff to deal with. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but okay, are you how do I put this? Are you physically sensitive?
So do you mean in terms of sensory needs?
Yes. So you've got skin, noise or sound, sight, light, what else is there? Taste and smell. Taste and smell are my least acute. I'd say they're kind of normal, although I have allergies to do with smell. But the lights, so the eyes, the ears and the skin are very sensitive. Oh, and to atmospheres, and intuition is sort of overlap. There's all sorts of things we can look at here.
Yes. Before we get on to that, though, can I just answer something just on the subtext thing? And then I think the sensory one would be a really interesting subject to talk to. And the answer is yes, in a nutshell. But I think for me, one of the things that I'm really acutely sensitive of is any comment on my body, eating, food habits, anything like that. Do you remember when we were in America and we were just having a chat? We were walking along a street, and I've no idea where it came from, as always, with our conversations. We were having a conversation about metabolism. And you were asking me whether I had a quick metabolism or not. And I said, oh, I don't really know. And you went on to say, well, you know, I would imagine you have a healthy or a normal metabolism or something like that, because you're very slim, and, you know, do you have to be careful about me? And I sort of turned to you and I said, Nikki, I can't talk about these things. Do you remember that?
I remember the street we were walking down, funnily enough. I could see it, and the trees and the shops and everything. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And I was like, I can't actually have this conversation, because I find it just opens too much of a can of worms. You know, I've never been seriously obese or anything, but I was quite a chubby, you know, chubby kid. And it was always commented on, and it made me really sensitive about it. And that sort of, oh, you know, you can't wear this and you can't wear that. And oh, look at those chunky thighs and oh, look at this. And I think as well, growing up, being a teenager in the 80s, where the ideal body shape for a woman was a stick, and going to an all-girls school where everyone just didn't eat. It's really had a long-term impact on me, and I've sort of struggled with disordered eating all my life. Not the same thing as an eating disorder. I've been borderline that, but disordered eating. So anything anyone says, even though now I am slim and fit and healthy, if somebody says to me, even something like, oh, somebody said the other day, oh, you're tiny, and it causes a little panic inside me, because I don't even know why. It's like there's somebody is scrutinising my body and making a judgment on me. And they may mean it as a really offhand remark, but it is absolutely filed away and locked in my mental filing cabinet of comments made about me.
Yeah.
And I think that for me is probably one of the most difficult ones. So like for you with your health condition, or your client with her creams, we have the things that actually they're a big part of us that probably other people don't know or recognize, but are really things we carry every day.
I've got two thoughts. One is, of course, one is I think of these as emotional landmines. So they're under the ground and nobody knows they're standing on them. And they explode at any given opportunity because they're sitting there quite close to the surface, but they're hidden. And the other thought was, how do I put this? Are you okay talking about this then on here?
Yes, because we're not going to dig into it.
Okay, that's it.
That's your lot.
Okay.
No, Because I think there's a lot of, it probably will resonate with people.
Absolutely.
I'm sure I'm not the only person of my sort of age and generation who's sensitive to that sort of thing. But it's more to just to say we all have our own things that we are really, really sensitive about. I remember going back when I was at university and that sort of slang language, and a word for something being really good at the time was they'd say that is huge or that is massive, you know, such and such, that, you know, they're massive. And I remember meeting some friends of friends and we all went out for the night and one of them at the end of the evening sort of went, "You are massive."
Oh, thanks.
And I was just like 4 hours crying in the loo.
Oh, no. Oh,
and I was like, what do they mean? Why are they saying this? And they're like, no, it just meant you're really nice and you're fun.
Yes.
And
yes. So that was a massive landmine.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, bless you.
And I'm much better at it now.
Yeah.
Much, much better at it. But it's still that, you know, as with all of these things, they're still there and you get the strategies. But every now and then, if you're a little bit, I don't know, on the back foot, tired, emotion, whatever, it's a bit of a raw wound.
Yeah.
So going on to sensory stuff.
Can I add something in there? Because it's kind of matching in a way that what you've just been saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go on.
So true life confessions. No, my mum was Miss England, that you may not know.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
And guess who I take after? My dad. Unlucky. To the point that this is my stock joke. All right, so to the point that
that's really made me laugh.
I know. So he walked into the hospital when I was born, struggling for my life at the time, literally. And they said, "Oh, hello, Mr. So-and-so," insert old surname here. "Your daughter's in room," whatever it was, because they recognised him from me. I'm that like him.
I
know. So anyway, so my mum was lovely, absolutely lovely. And she coached me. And because my father's side always struggled with their weight, I mean, we're talking 20 odd stone. Mum said to me, look, she said, "We love your grandparents, but there's a health thing attached to this." This is when I was about 11 or 12. And people might think this is child abuse, but it's one of the most useful things that's ever been said to me. And she sat down and she coached me in effect. And she said, "So looking ahead, is this what you want? Do you want to be like this sort of size?" And I said, "Oh no." And she said, "Okay, what would you prefer?" So I said, "Well, you know, to be slim." And I was a bit chubby at the time. So I didn't actually have any adverse comments about it. I was lucky I didn't. And she was centering it on the healthy side rather than how you look. And so she said, "Well, look, if you want some help, I can help you with it. If you don't, that's fine. But if you do..." So we started looking at calories and other stuff like that. And she really helped me. And the reason I'm able to look the way I do, for whatever, however good that is, at my age, having been on high dose steroids, prednisolone, for the last 15 plus years, where people balloon, and I've seen it in other people, they literally look like the man in the moon or the person in the moon. I've managed to control it. A lot of effort goes into it. Yeah. And do I want to say this? Okay, sod it. Excuse me. So yesterday I had a conversation with somebody about having some plastic surgery, some liposuction, because I'm having to keep my arms and legs too thin in order to keep my stomach and my face and neck down to a dull raw. And all my clothes don't fit. And it's just 15 years of steroids. They prepare you for walking across the desert in a famine. And so they stick all the fat cells on your stomach and your front. And it's really unhealthy as well because of visceral fat and stuff. And so I've been battling this for the last 15 years. And so I've got to the point now where I'm sensitive to it. When I look in the mirror, I don't look like me. And I'm still not used to it. And I don't want to get used to it. I want to look like me. I want to have cheekbones like you. And this, I'm just showing you, is steroid, all this. So it's horrid and it's out of my control. And I work so hard at it. So I've decided I'm just going to go and have an investigation. The fact that I'm on the steroids and it has an effect on healing might mean I can't. They cause the problem, but they also might mean that I can't have the resolution. But anyway, he said in principle it might be possible, so I'm going to go and see him.
Good for you.
And that's sensitivity, and that's not actually an external one, that's an internal one.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like me.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't look like me, it doesn't feel like me, it's a pain in the bum, and I've just got fed up with it, and I've just decided I'm going to do something. So sensitivity takes different forms.
It absolutely does. You're right. I think many things can have that impact on us, and things that we hear. And when we were ADHD, you probably have had a lot of people making a lot of comments about you, a lot of your life.
Mm.
So you pick these things up. And just to give an example of how even one comment can have an impact.
Yep.
I've got a girlfriend. We've been friends since we were at high school together. So we met when we were 12. And we're still friends now. We still meet up. So, you know, 40 years of friendship.
Mm.
And we were chatting probably about 20 years ago, 10, 20 years ago, about our time at school and our time as teenagers and how actually our group of friends were quite catty at times. And she said to me, because she doesn't really wear makeup at all. And she said to me, do you know, Carrie, she said, it's still stuck in my head that I remember putting on electric blue mascara, which was the fashion. This was like 1985 or whatever. She said, I remember putting on my electric blue mascara and you came round to my house and you said, oh, I don't think makeup really suits you. And to this day, that's locked in. And she said, I've never really felt confident in makeup. And of course, I was mortified. I was like, oh my God, I can't, you know, that's one. And I said, I was an idiot 14-year-old.
Yeah.
You don't think about the long-term implications of saying something like that. And, you know, it hasn't ruined her life. She's not paranoid about it. But she said, it's always there. This sort of, does makeup suit me? Because I was the first person who ever saw her in makeup and said that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel really responsible. But multiply that one comment by 10, 100, 1,000. No wonder people are sensitive to things. Yeah.
But it's also because when somebody's, I don't want to make you feel even worse.
God, please don't. I feel awful.
All right, let's use another example. So
I have grovelled with apology to her.
I'm sure you have.
And obviously massively overthought it and beaten myself up about it.
I wouldn't say this fits into the, they don't care. No, it doesn't quite fit in there. But nonetheless, she has survived this far.
She has. She's forgiven me. All is good.
And you're still friends.
Yes.
So 40 years on. So, okay. So, but the thing you just said about it multiplying, of course, we do that to ourselves.
Mm.
So we ruminate, and or we can ruminate. You and I used to ruminate because we don't do that anymore, do we? Much. Mostly. Anyway, it's the old thing about the arrow is shot into you and then you shoot the next arrow into yourself. It's that thing again that we talked about before.
Well, it's that internal voice, you know, like you were just saying, if the external voices are having an impact on us, having control over that internal voice becomes even more important and vital.
Mm.
You know, if your internal voice is constantly telling you you're fat, rubbish, useless, unhealthy, a letdown, a disappointment, whatever it is, that voice is there all the time. And it's the impact of it just grows, you know, exponentially, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. This is why I finally decided. Well, I started thinking about the liposuction in the first COVID lockdown. So that's 4 years ago. And of course, you couldn't do anything in those days. You couldn't go and see anybody. So it was kind of on the back burner. And I've investigated every non-surgical thing I can think of. And there's always a problem. Like there's something called Cool Sculpt that is basically freezing it. And that works well. But it can give you an autoimmune condition where you attack your own fat cells. And what have I got? Autoimmune thing.
Yeah.
I do not want that. It's a bit like being in Hampton Court maze and you go around the corner and there's another hedge.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've just thought, well, let's just go and find out. And if I can't have it, then I can't. At least I've tried.
Mm.
So that's my way of sort of taking control of it. Mm. Because what's happening is every day we all have to look in the mirror to put makeup on.
Oh, twist the knife, Nikki.
Think of all the money you've saved her over there. Think how much better her skin is because she hasn't clogged it up with all this stuff. No, no, but looking in the mirror for whatever reason, every day, or just passing it in the downstairs loo on my way through, it's like, I don't want to be looking at, I want to feel. My mum had her neck done, actually, when she was about my age. And I remember going round to see her, or to see them, and I looked at her, and we were sitting outside having a drink or something. And I said, you look well. And she did this little twitchy smile. And I said, what? And she said, I've had my neck done. And I went, oh. And she said, well, I was looking in the mirror and I was thinking, the only thing that doesn't really still look pretty good for my age is my neck. So I thought, you know. So she went into the hospital, got it done, and she felt great afterwards. So when I talked to the woman yesterday, I just said, I'm not going to be one of these people that is never happy. I said, if this is sorted, I will be very happy and I won't feel the need to do it ever again unless it comes back.
I'll remind you of this episode when in a year's time you're sitting with a new pair of boobs. Yeah. And
a new pair of boobs and a longer nose. And the interesting thing was when I got to 30,
yeah,
I suddenly developed cheekbones like my mum. So I didn't look so much like my dad. Oh. And I was very happy about that. And then because of the steroids when I was 50, I started to lose them again. And that's the bit, because I had them. I didn't have them, then I had them. And then so it's like I identify with that cheekbony 30-year-old. And I obviously, you know, I'm much older than that now. And I don't have a problem with the aging process. That's not the issue. It's the steroid sensitivity.
Yeah.
So anyway, as you said, shall we move on to physical sensitivity?
Yes, there's sensory issues. And as I said, yes, my answer is yes, absolutely, to all of them.
Just yes.
All of them.
Okay, that's that then.
Yeah, move on. I mean, so I always say skin-wise, I was a young child of the 70s where there was an awful lot of wool around.
Oh, yes.
And my... Oh,
yes. You're not going to mention the C word, are you?
What's the C word?
I don't know if I can say it.
Go on.
Cashmere.
Oh, I love cashmere.
Or, just as bad, actually worse, the L word, linen.
Linen. Oh. No, you see, I don't mind linen and cashmere. I've also got expensive
pens. I was going to say, talking of saving lots of money.
But wool, no.
Oh, no. Just no.
So my grandmothers both were really into knitting and sewing.
Oh.
And they made all my clothes.
Oh, no.
And so my memories until I was probably about 12 of just being itchy. And I hated it.
Yes.
I absolutely hated it. And even now, I'm really sensitive to what's against my skin, what I wear, shoes. Being uncomfortable. I can't focus on anything else if, like, my shoes are tight. In fact, one of the clients that I coach is a young autistic boy, and he came in one session and just started shouting at me. He was really angry, and he didn't even say hello, just started shouting and swearing at me. He was really angry. And I said, you know, what's up? And he would just carry on ranting, and he just, my shoes are too tight. I was like, I get it. I said, well, just stop, take your shoes off, you know. And it's the same with kids we see at school, you know, who... They have to wear something under their uniform because the feel of the uniform, whatever, just doesn't feel right.
Oh, totally.
And so I definitely touch, yes, 100%.
How do you get on with our chorus shirts with the embroidery on the back? Where it says the words across the back. There's a thing, isn't there? Like an applique, I don't know what the word is, but it's touching your skin between the shoulder blades. It's just, oh, drives me insane. I have to wear something underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, I've only worn it once or twice, and I think I had a vest top on underneath, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yes.
So I wear something underneath, even if it's a bit hot, I still do it, because that's the only way I can do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But, I mean, you say about heat. I cannot bear being too hot, but I also can't bear being too cold, but I'd rather be hot than cold.
Oh, see, I'd rather be cold than hot. We're back to Antigua, you see.
Oh, yeah, it's a hard one. I'm a cold person. I'm one of those always cold people.
So are you a reptile? You need the sun on you.
So once I get cold, I stay cold. It's really hard to warm up. But then that said, when I'm hot, when I'm cold, I'm just cold and miserable. When I get too hot, I...
Panic. Me too.
I do panic.
I get panicky.
Yes.
Exactly that.
Yeah. But only if it's like, not if I'm in a hot place and I'm just hot, but if I'm wearing clothes and I'm too hot.
It's like being trapped or claustrophobic.
Yeah, 100% claustrophobic. What did we both do as we sat down and started talking?
Yes.
We both
said,
oh, I'm too hot, I've got to take my top off. I've got to take, yes. So yeah, definitely things against my skin, sensitivity of heat and cold. Yeah. Now, smell.
Now, hold on, can we just say one more thing about skin?
Yeah, sure.
And it's a little bit TMI. There are good things about having very sensitive skin.
Leave it there.
Do you find?
Leave it there.
Do you agree or not?
Yes.
So, as you said, yes. Right, moving on then.
Moving on.
Just for a bit of balance.
Yes. Nice.
Yes.
So, sense of smell. I have, I've always had a sense of smell like a hound dog until I got COVID and I lost my sense of smell for about 6 months.
Oh.
In that first wave, you know, when everyone was still losing their sense of smell.
Yes, yes.
And I completely lost mine and it didn't come back for about 6 months. And since it's come back, everything smells different. So, for example, I had a perfume that I've worn since I was about 30 and it just doesn't smell the same.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a fabric conditioner that I've been using for 20 years and I can't stand the smell of it now and I've had to change. If I'm wearing a top that maybe I haven't worn for a while and it's been hanging up in the wardrobe and I last washed it in that old fabric conditioner, I have to take it off.
Oh, yeah.
My husband regularly is sort of like, why have all your clothes gone in the wash out of a drawer? Mm. Like, because it's something in it, I can't stand the smell of it and I've had to rewash all my clothes.
Mm. I so get that because... I was going to say, I'm not sensitive to smell. Like, my ex has a really good sense of smell and palate. And my friend in the village that you know has a very good sense of smell for wine and so on. And I've got an average one, I'm fine. But I'm not sensitive like that. But I am so sensitive to things like you were just talking about. One of our neighbours has autistic children. And they like the smell of these things that you put in the tumble dryer, you know, these sheets.
Yeah.
And when the wind's in the wrong direction, they're only a couple of houses away. Oh, my God, it's sickly.
Yeah.
And I've been round and asked them if they wouldn't mind. So she cut it back by half and it really helped. But it's crept up again because she said, well, my children really like it, unfortunately. And it's a kind of safe place that the smell is feels, you know. So I might have to go back because we're now into summer again and the doors are open and it's all. So it's walking that line of being a pest yourself. But actually, should you be being assailed by somebody else's issues?
Mm.
What about noise? Sounds
very sensitive. So things being too loud, I don't like. Lots of people, lots of overlapping sounds, and we've talked about this in Thinking the podcast before. Overlapping sounds I find really difficult to deal with, even to the point if I'm watching TV and somebody starts talking to me, I have to pause the TV because my brain sort of oscillates between the two and makes no sense of either. I just can't. It stresses me, actually. It physically makes me feel stressed if people are talking to me and the TV or the radio on. I mean, I do that classic thing if I'm listening to music in the car and I have to concentrate on driving into a car park or something, I turn the radio down because it helps me concentrate more.
I do that too, yeah.
But I think lots of people do. I don't think that's necessarily an ADHD thing.
It's probably more so with ADHD.
Maybe.
Because you have that focusing thing. Which begs the question, are we concentrating the rest of the time? We are, but it's in a different way because we're trying to find our way rather than just deal with the traffic conditions.
Yeah.
So we're having to do another thing.
Yes, definitely. I do like loud music and everything. It's not like I have to have everything quiet, but there are certain sounds. So like I can't bear the sound of people eating.
Oh.
And I can't bear sniffing and things like that.
Misophonia.
Yes.
Misophonia.
Yeah. I really struggle with that sort of sound.
Mm. The thing that drives me around the bend is the washing machine.
What, the sound of it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just so intrusive. And I cannot put it in the garage or anywhere. It has to stay in the kitchen because of the plumbing issues. My wife and I have come to the arrangement now that it goes on when I'm not in there.
Yeah.
So it may be on at the moment because I'm out here, out in my studio, because it just puts me in a bad mood. And we've got the quietest washing machine in the world. It's a Bosch. And I've researched it. And everybody says, this is really... And it was. It was about half the volume. But of course, you get used to that. And then that becomes the benchmark. So the interesting thing is, I have, as you know, slightly deaf hearing because I had a virus.
Yes.
And so the the irony is that I have to wear hearing aids, which help make noises louder. Oh, how are you in pubs if there's music on and you're trying to listen to a friend? Can you hear them?
No, can't do it. No. I'm just going to get some of those loop things.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine has those and I tried them and it really helped because it helps you. If you're in a big group, it helps sort of narrow the sort of bouncing sound down.
Yeah.
So sight then. Now, I am not... I don't think too bad visually. Certain lights can make me feel a bit funny.
Oh, yes.
But I don't think visual sensitivity wise, I have a lot. I have a client who she has to wear, we've sort of worked through this. She now wears sunglasses to the supermarket because she said there's a lot going on. I went with some friends. We went to one of those we were like somewhere away, and we went on the pier, and there was the amusement arcade.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I found hard, but I think that's the combination of sound. It's deafening.
Everything.
Everything's going on. Then it's all the flashing lights and all the people. But I think it was the sound rather than the flashing lights and the visuals that made it harder for me. But so what about you?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, we've just got new lights at Chorus in our rehearsal. I walked in there and it was like, I felt like, you know, on Mastermind when you're sitting in the chair and they've got the spotlight on you. I was like, I can't see. And it was the night that people were wearing cowboy hats and I hadn't taken one. And I thought, I wish I'd brought a hat because it's, about halfway through the night, I've acclimatized. But for the first, you know, I don't know, half hour, I'm like squinting. It's horrible for me. I am actually clinically, of course, I am photosensitive. When I was 12, I had an eyesight test. And at that point, I was told I had 20/20 vision. I could go and get my pilot's license, he said, when I was 12. But he said, you are clinically photosensitive. And of course, my father used to come in. My father had this thing that when I'm up, everybody's up. So he used to come in on a Sunday morning, which was my only morning of, you know, when I could have a sleep in when I was 16 or something.
Yeah.
And he'd come in and he'd fling the curtains open. So a bit like your client, I had to keep sunglasses in the bedside table because I couldn't see. It was actually counterproductive because it made me go under the covers and stay there longer.
So we're both sensitive little flowers, really, aren't we?
Well, I think it does go with the ADHD and ADHD. Atmospheres. So if you walk into a room, can you feel what's going on before anybody says anything or before you hear anything? You just know what's going on.
Yeah, so that's about sensitivity to energy levels, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I think we've talked about this before, that can be quite annoying because I pick up if people are a bit irritated or a bit cross or whatever. I think I'm sort of hypersensitive to that sort of energy shift. And I get a bit panicked about it. So if I see, you know, if my husband's, he might be looking through some emails and has an email from something that's annoyed him, you know, a plan's changed or something's been cancelled or something like that. And it's not the end of the world, but he will just be a bit about it. I will notice that and immediately be like, "You're right, what's the matter?" And I think that could be quite annoying because he sometimes feels a bit under the spotlight because I'm always asking him if he's all right.
We're back to Mastermind.
Yes.
And your specialist subject is?
Yes. Mood changing.
Yeah. The other side about sensitivity, and let's put some positives on this, apart from the other one mentioned about skin, is it really helps me in my coaching when I'm working with people. Even through Zoom, sometimes I'm sitting there with them and they seem quite fine. And they've been telling me about something or whatever. Or it might not even be anything directly related. And I suddenly get this emotion and this feeling in my skin. Or do you remember, I quite often say I get goose pimples.
Good.
And I'm sitting there and I can feel, I start getting tears in my eyes. And I look at them and say, "You okay?" And they go, And they seemed okay. And then we investigate it. And it's like I'm feeling their feeling. It's that sort of empathy, intuition thing that I think a lot of ADHDers we have.
Oh.
And it's incredibly helpful because it helps people, it helps the bond between you so that there's the trust thing and all those good things with coaching. Because if you don't trust the person with it, then you can't be vulnerable and open. Incidentally, I think we should pat ourselves on the back for being so vulnerable and open in this conversation because I think hopefully it will be helpful for people.
Oh.
And it's helpful for us too, to talk about stuff.
Definitely. I think you're right, Nikki. I think it has been really useful to talk about. It's interesting, actually, the more I learn about my ADHD is realising that so many things I've just taken for granted as being how I am and parts of me are parts of ADHD.
Mm.
And there's another one, I think, in this, which is the sort of proprioceptive feelings, which I've become very aware of recently, in that I don't know where my body is in space. And I've only just realised that I'm not very good. And my friend, who is a therapist and psychologist, I was talking to her about it. And she said the lot of work she does with people is teaching them to sort of sit in a chair and feel the chair.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of, I think that's why I'm always covered in bruises, because I've bumped into something, because I don't know. And she said to me, if you try and feel a part of your body, and I said, I can't. I picture myself looking at that part of my body.
How interesting, yeah.
So you know when you do those body scan meditations for mindfulness?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like, feel your foot, feel your this. I can't. I picture my foot and I picture my leg. Mm. And I'm really learning now to have a body awareness where my body is. And, you know, there's a thing we were doing in chorus the other day where we had to do a certain move. And the person next to me said, every time you do that, you literally put your hand right across my face.
Yeah, I think we all do that.
But I had no idea of where my body ends and its relationship and closeness to other people.
Sorry, can I say, this is so interesting because we have massive Venn diagram central areas, but we also have opposite ends of the spectrum. And this is one of those occasions, and it might be useful for the listeners to think where they are on this spectrum, because I am the absolute opposite of that. I do bang into things, but I think that's an attention thing. Because I am hugely body aware. My chiropractor says there are two people that she listens to when they say there's a such and such there. And well, it's not quite there. It's this. And oh, no, I don't think we've quite finished. There's a bit more left. And I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not sort of banging my drum here. It's just the way it is. It's part of my sensitivity. And OK, so if you have a glass of water by the bed, can you reach your hand out in the dark and pick it up?
Actually, yes, I can.
Yes.
Yes.
Because is it always in the same place?
Yes.
So if I put something down that isn't it always in the same place, I can pretty much pick it up, go away and come back. I've got a spatial awareness, which is highly developed, but I still bang into things.
Oh.
It's very strange. But I do think that's about attention because my mind's thinking about something else.
Yes, could be. Yeah.
Yeah, which is why I've broken various bits recently.
Yes. So that's really interesting. And also things like going to the loo. You know, if I need to go for a wee, I never go until I'm absolutely bursting.
Of course, that's what we do. I walk through with my legs crossed and my wife says, I left it too late again.
Yes, always. I'm like, I can feel I need to go to the loo. And then I think, I don't want to go now. And I keep doing all the things. And it gets to the point when I, oh my God, I have to go. What's that about?
Yeah, it's worse, especially after a certain age. When you stand up and gravity takes hold, and then it's twice or three times as acute as it was when you were sitting down. That's the factor that we need to build in.
Yes.
So we need to go early.
Well, that's where the Pilates comes in as well.
Yeah, floor.
But is that, you know, I read somebody saying that's an ADHD thing.
It is. But it's also once we're doing stuff, and especially if we've been putting something off or whatever, and we're finally doing whatever it is, or we're doing a selection of things and we're having one of those really productive days, we don't want to stop because we know we'll lose we'll lose the momentum. So a lot of people don't eat. They don't drink enough water. I just bring a glass of water back every time I get something like a cup of tea so that I have one while I'm waiting for the kettle to boil. And then I have another one next to me. Here. Ching, ching.
Yes, same. Yes. But Nikki, I will think, I'll be aware I'm really thirsty. God, I'm really thirsty. And I will pour myself, like here in my hand now, a glass of water, and I will put it down on the desk, and then I will just completely forget to drink it because I've just got focused onto the next thing.
That's very ADHD. And I'm sure people who focus well anyway, who are not neurodiverse, I'm sure they do the same thing for a different reason. But it is very ADHD that we don't look after our bodily functions particularly well. Eating, going to the loo, drinking, getting up and walking around, any of those things. And, you know, putting alarms on is quite a good idea. Although I don't know if I've got space for any more alarms. It'll just be like wallpaper in the background.
Well, having picked up my glass of water, I've just had a nice drink. So that's all right. I feel hydrated now.
Ah. So hopefully there's some useful stuff in there for people. If only in resonating in certain areas with us that... whether we both share it or one of us has got one direction and one the other.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'd be interested to see, you know, if there's listeners out there who want to share with this, sort of what their experiences of that, you know, emotional sensitivities, but also, like we said, those sort of sensory issues.
Yes, absolutely. Instagram is open if anybody would like to leave a comment.
Yes, do. Oh, well, it's been really good to chat with you as always, Nikki.
And you.
And I'll see you soon.
Catch you in a couple of weeks or so.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help.
as well as on your favourite app. You can find us on YouTube and Instagram at the ADHD Connection _podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.